As Justin mentioned, one of the favorite passages in all of Scripture for children to read. That's what we are to this morning. But before we dive in, I want to give us a little context. And I know that we tend to do a little recap of where we've been and what we've gone through. But it is really important for us to understand all of Colossians 3 and understand when Paul begins to address these relationships, that they're built on something. He's saying this for a reason, and this is the application and the effects of something that has gone on in our lives as believers. So, just as a recap, let's walk through real quick. In Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to be in verses 20 and 21 this morning, but in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it starts out talking about setting your mind on things above. Now, he's addressing believers. We are to set our minds on things above. So, how does this work? And we kind of walk through this. We're going to do this very quickly. The first thing we do is we put off certain things, right? You guys remember that. We're putting off certain things. We talked about, in verse 8, we talked about putting off anger and wrath and malice. In verses 8 and 9, slander, abusive speech, lying. We're to put these things off. Now, the reason that we have to put them off is because those are natural responses in the flesh, right? Prior to Christ, those were our natural responses. And the thing is even after Christ, we still have a sin nature that we have to deal with, that we have to address, and so we have to work on putting those things off and getting ourselves away from, because our natural response, and let's use this in context of our lesson this morning, we're talking about the relationship between, last week you talked about the relationship between a husband and a wife, and this week we're talking about parents and children. And so our natural response with our parents might be anger or wrath or malice or slander or abusive speech or lying. Those are natural things in that relationship, but when we put those things off, the next thing we're supposed to do is we're supposed to put on certain other things, right? We're supposed to put on things to replace those. So in verses 12 and 13, we're told to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, patience, humility. That's what we are to work to put on. So there's a transformation going on in our lives as believers. We're putting off certain things and we're putting on other things. And so it comes, as we keep walking through the passage, what does it look like? When we do those things, what does it look like generally in the church and amongst believers? What does that look like? And it looks like this. There's two things, that we are bearing one another. They're bearing one another up, and we are forgiving one another, because we're going to get offended and we're going to have people around us that are stumbling and falling. When you think about bearing one another and forgiving one another, that is dealing with people that have transgressed you, that have hurt you, that have harmed you in some way, or not met your expectations of them, or something. And the thing is we have that in our lives. How many of you in this room, your parents have not met your expectations at one point or another, at some time or another? Edwin is purposely not raising his hand. Mandy raised her hand, and then she looked over and saw her mom was walking, and that hand went right back down. No, that happens. We will have an expectation of a parent. I'll tell you what, how many parents in here, your children have not met your expectations? Yeah, I mean, it's going to happen. That's natural. That's going to happen. People are not going to meet our expectations. We're going to need to bear one another up in encouragement and help and support, and we're going to have to forgive one another because people are going to offend us. That's going to happen. So then he goes on in verses 13 and 14. How do we put them on? There's three keys to growing in our putting on. And it all begins with love. It starts with genuine love towards others. Not seeking for ourselves, but putting others first. It's a big part of that. The second part is it endures with peacefulness and thankfulness. Focusing on peacefulness and thankfulness. Being thankful for what you have versus what you don't have. For what people are doing instead of what they're not doing. Having that mindset, having that attitude, that's in verses 16 and 17. And then in verse 16, it also talks about that it flourishes with focused fellowship, that we're to fellowship with fellow believers. That's going to be part of this process of putting on and putting off and putting on. Then it comes to application. And I think Joshua taught last week on the husbands and wives. So I haven't heard that lesson, so I can't reference any of that, but I'm sure it was awesome. And you guys learned so much, and you're all getting ready to be married now. So it starts out with husbands and wives, and then Paul addresses children and parents, and then slaves and owners. So we're on verse 20 of chapter 3 this morning, children and parents. So we're talking about that relationship. I'm going to read that passage real quick. Colossians 3, verses 20 and 21. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. This passage is mirrored very closely in Ephesians 6, and I'm going to reference that a little bit this morning, Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. And that passage says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So there's really two parts of this. We're going to talk about children to parents and then fathers or parents to your children. And I know you're sitting there thinking, let's run through the first part real fast and let's get to that part about fathers not exasperating your children. And we'll get to that in a minute. And we're going to talk through that because this is something that you guys need to know and you need to understand. But let's look at it today. In our society today, do you see generally that children honor and obey their parents? No. Take a trip to Walmart and just get a view of how children treat their parents. You walk down the aisles at Walmart and you're going to get a in-your-face example of how children lack the mindset of honoring and obeying their parents. In the United States today, at least 8 million serious assaults are made each year by children against parents. Assaults, attacks of children against parents. In recent years, and people in this room that are older will even remember the Menendez trials, there are a number of children who have been convicted of murdering or hiring for the killing of their parents, because they didn't get something that they wanted or they felt that their parents were being unfair with them. Children who are incessantly told that they can do whatever they wish and have their own way are children who will soon mock their parents, teachers, moral standards, and the law and society in general. You know, all human relationships start at the parent-child basis. That's where all relationships start. And it obviously grows out of those, all human relationships obviously grow out of those children with parent relationships. Children who respect and obey their parents will build a society that is ordered and harmonious and productive. That's just natural for there to be honor and respect and personal responsibility. But whenever you lack those things, a generation of undisciplined, disobedient children will produce a society that's chaotic and destructive, one that everybody's looking out for themselves and not taking responsibility for themselves. And that's really one thing that you can put, and this is the title of the lesson. I'm sorry I don't have an outline this morning, but the title of the lesson this morning is Relationship with Others, and I guess it would be part two, because it's children and parents. Part one was husbands and wives. But this is relationships with others built on the context of putting off and putting on certain things in our lives. And these are the effects of that. So, under that, one note that I want you guys to make and highlight this or make this note, write in your notes rights versus responsibilities. Rights versus responsibilities. The world today has much to say about children's so-called rights, but the emphasis should be on their responsibilities, not on their rights. emphasis on rights, whether it's by children or by adults, if there's a focus and an emphasis on rights, it's going to weaken and destroy relationships on every level. In a husband and wife relationship, if you focus on my rights versus my responsibilities, it's going to destroy your marriage. If you have that focus and that mindset in business, if you've got a business partner, what are my rights versus what are my responsibilities to this business? What are my responsibilities to my business partner? You've got to have that mindset. And that same mindset applies in the relationship between a parent and a child. Not what are my rights, but what are my responsibilities? What am I called to do? And what am I supposed to be doing, and how am I supposed to go about doing that? It's very easy and natural to focus on your rights. What am I owed? What am I due? What do I get out of this situation? Instead of, what are my responsibilities? You know, as we talk about this, let's define a couple of things. Number one, parents. What are parents supposed to be? Parents stand in the gap, so to speak, between children and God. Whenever children are born, they're so small and, you know, you can't do anything for yourself. So your parents are going to train you up. They're going to raise you up. And it is a God-given responsibility, whether it's something that a parent acknowledges or not. It is a God-given responsibility to train up your children. It's something that God gives us until a child is old enough to, in essence, stand on their own and stand in responsibility to God on their own for their actions. So we are called to obey this proxy authority that has been put into our life by God and for His purposes and part of His plan. So that's what parents are. So there's really two parts to this lesson. So I've given you all that information. Number one, how putting on affects children. How putting on, like we've been talking about for all of Colossians chapter 3, how putting on affects children. I'm going to read the first part of this verse again. Colossians 3:20 says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Again, this is very parallel to the Ephesians 6:1 passage that says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." So children, who are children? Now, everybody in this room, I assume, would say there's a certain point when you would say, "I'm not a child anymore," right? Because in our minds, everybody in here would, if we said, define a children, you'd say, well, that would be people that are in the children's building that are maybe 6th grade and under, or 5th grade and under, maybe something like that. Then you get up, maybe even junior hires would still be children. But once you get up into high school, I mean, we're really not children anymore. I mean, we're older, some of us can drive, we got the ability to kind of go and do, and I even get a job, and I make some money, I make my own money. So maybe there's no definition of that. What is a child? What is a child? Keith? Somebody that's human? Sure, yeah, okay, that's the first thing. We're all children. Everybody in here is a child. But when do you stop being a child? When you move out from under your parents' care. Now, that's true, and there is a transition that happens. But even when you move, Martha is Mandy's mom. Mandy has not lived at home for a long time. But Mandy is still Martha's child, isn't she? I mean, it's not like she is no longer her child whenever she moves out from the house. So there's still a relationship there that's supposed to be adhered to. Now, it does change, and Scripture is very clear that there are some changes that take place when someone moves out from under their parents' out of your home, and you are on your own, and you're establishing your own home. And we're not going to focus so much on that. We're going to focus on the time that you are in that home, because right now, everybody here is under their parents' roof, for the most part. So, the term children in Scripture is a general term for children and is not limited to a specific age. It refers to any child still living in the home and under the parent's guidance, that we are to obey and honor them. Now, that word obey has to do with action. To obey is an action word. It's something that is to be engaged in, that we are to be about. It has to do with action, and it literally means to hear under or to listen with attentiveness and to respond positively to what's heard. That's what we as children, or you as children, are commanded to do in Scripture. To obey, to act, to listen with attentive, to respond positively to what's heard. And they are to put themselves under the words and authority of their parents. Now you're sitting here thinking, I am so ready to get to the part about the fathers exasperating the children. Let's focus on that part. And we'll get to that part. But we have to remember, when you hear something from God's Word, look at it from your perspective of how you can take responsibility for what God has told you to do. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." In Ephesians 6, when it talks about this parallel passage, it gives a couple more terms. It says, "In the Lord." It refers to children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So what does it mean to do something in the Lord? It refers to the sphere of pleasing to God. This is something that is pleasing to God. To obey parents for the Lord's sake, not for your parents' sake, not for your sake that you get something out of it. Hey, I want to live a long life, so I better obey. It's to please God, because this is a relationship that He has established, He has ordained, and in His providence and sovereignty He has set up, and He has commanded you as a child to obey your parents, to listen attentively to them, to adhere to what they're saying. Now you're saying, now wait a minute, you don't know my parents, because my parents are hard. There is no stipulation in this passage that says, obey your parents in the Lord if they tell you to do something that's easy, or if they give you a directive that's comfortable, or anything like that. It's a command to obey your parents. That's what we're called to do. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's no easier than the whole putting on and putting off process that we just talked about in Colossians 3, 1 through 17. It's work. It takes effort. It's like tearing something apart, because it is not in our nature to want to do those things. It goes on in Ephesians 6, it uses the word honor, which is a little bit different, but the two things were to honor and obey our parents. The word obey has to do with action. The word honor has to do with attitude. Honor has to do with attitude, which means to highly value, to hold in the highest regard and respect. Ephesians 20:12 says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." That's part of the Ten Commandments. Children are to honor and obey their parents. It's taught repeatedly in Scripture, all throughout Scripture. Ten Commandments, Ephesians 20:12, talks about striking or cursing one's parent was punishable by death in the Old Testament. That's in Exodus and in Leviticus, and as was continued disobedience. If you continued to disobey your parents, you'd be put to death. Turn your Bibles real quick to Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21, 18. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21, 18 says this: "If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they chastise him, he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. They shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death. So you shall remove the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. Now, that is pretty tough. But that was God's standard. When we look at the Old Testament, when we look at the law, that's what God's standard is. And we should look at that and understand, what is God trying to say and what is God trying to show us? He's trying to show us that obedience and honoring parents is highly important to Him. Because when we honor and obey our parents, it pleases God. Because it is a relationship that He has ordained. He has set up. And He is working His purposes in your life through your parents, through that relationship. Whether you see it or not, whether you understand it or not, one of my greatest frustrations whenever I was a kid was I didn't understand why my dad would make me do certain things, or understand why my dad was so hard, or why my dad is so strict. I didn't understand it. But I'm not called to understand it. I was called to obey. And the thing is that's something that we are called to do. We're to obey. Children are to listen to their parents and their instruction and obey it. It talks about that in Proverbs 1:8 and 6:20. The consequences of disrespect for parents was graphically portrayed in Proverbs 30:17. It says, "The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it." You know, disobedience to parents marks the ungodly. Those that are ungodly, that is a mark on them. Disobedience to parents, that's a mark of them. It says in 2 Timothy 3:2, "Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, and unholy." That is a mark of an ungodly man or woman, is disobedience to parents. Children are to obey their parents in all things. This is a hard one to swallow at times. In all things? I mean, did Paul really write that correctly? I mean, in all things? Whenever I was 18, and my dad was pretty strict. There's no question about it. He was pretty strict. I mean, he was loving, no question about that. But my dad, it was my dad's way, or my dad's way. There was not even a highway involved in the deal. I think I was 18, and Mandy and her, I knew Mandy for a long time, and we were all going to go to Six Flags. And so my brother Clay and myself and Todd, I was living in Eastland, I'm 18, so we were getting in the car to drive. And we were going to meet Mandy and her brother Kevin and some other friends of ours, and we were going to Six Flags. It was hot, it was summer. I don't know, spring, I don't remember. So we were getting ready to load up, and my dad says, "Hey, you guys need to wear pants." I'm like, "What?" He says, "You don't need to wear shorts, you need to wear pants. You need to look nice when you go to Six Flags." What? So that was my dad's directive. And you know what I wore? I didn't have any jeans with me at the time. So I wore like khakis. I'm in khakis and a golf shirt going to Six Flags. Because that's what my dad determined that I was going to wear. I'm 18 years old. You're telling me that I'm going to have to wear pants? I'm not going to wear shorts. I'm going to Six Flags. I am going to be the only person at Six Flags in pants. I will say that I obeyed my dad outwardly that day. Mandy and her friends, we show up and they're like, "I don't think y'all can hang out with us today." But I did it. I didn't understand what my dad was trying to do. But my dad was trying to teach me something. He was trying to train me in something. And it wasn't mine to understand. I was going to obey. And there are going to be things that your parents say, I want you to do this, and you're not going to understand. But we're called to obey. The only time that we are not to obey if it is in contradiction to Scripture. If we were asked to disobey Scripture. So, if my dad came to me one day and said, hey, Craig, I need you to do something for me. Yes, sir, what do you need? Hey, the neighbors next door, man, they wear me out. They don't mow their yard. Their dog's loud. Would you go over there and just, you've got a gun. Could you go kill them? Could you just go shoot them? Because they are annoying me. Now, would I obey my parents in that? No, why not? Why would I not obey my parents in that? Because that's in direct contradiction to Scripture, right? But that's it. That's where we draw the line. And I give you an extreme example. My parents would never ask me to do that. But if they did, I could say, I cannot obey that. But if my dad comes and says, Craig, I want you to wear slacks or whatever to Six Flags, then for whatever reason, I need to obey him. Because Scripture says that I'm to obey my parents in all things. Not in what things I feel are comfortable or that are convenient for me or that I agree with or that are socially acceptable. But I'm to obey my parents in all things. So why am I to do that? Why should we as children do that? It says, because the motive for obedience is that it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Our goal is not to please our parents. Our goal is to please the Lord. That should be the motive. The motive for obedience is that it is well-pleasing to the Lord, commendable before God Himself. As he, God, was well pleased with his own son, Matthew 3:17 talks about this, so he deserves to be with other children. God was pleased with his son. And if we are his children, he deserves to be pleased with us. And the way we do that is by being obedient to our parents, because that is a relationship that God has set up, that he has ordained, that is sanctified for his purposes in our lives. That term well-pleasing we used in Colossians 1:10. It's one of my favorite passages in all of Colossians. Colossians 1:10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That should be our goal as believers. That we do that, that we be well-pleasing. And the way that we are well-pleasing as children, still living at home under the direction and authority of our parents, is to honor and obey our parents. Obey, action, outward, honor, inward, attitude. That's what we're called to do. Now, number two, how putting on affects fathers or parents. How putting on affects fathers. Now, this isn't when it says fathers, that's not a special Mother's Day gift. Any mothers that are here, that you don't have to adhere to this, you can exasperate your children. That's not what this means. Parents is what's being referred to when it uses the term fathers. So, verse 21 in chapter 3. Fathers, do not exasperate your children that they may lose heart. And this parallels to Ephesians 6:4, which says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. This duty is not one-sided. It's not just children are supposed to obey their parents, but there's a responsibility that parents have. Now, I was talking to Mandy, and I was going, this is kind of hard. How do you teach a group of high school students that I assume nobody has children? How do you teach them about fathers exasperating children? And Mandy said, well, they're going to need to know it someday because there's a good chance some of you are going to be parents. So when you hear this, I implore you, and I kind of want to make a little disclaimer statement here. I want you guys to listen to this with two things in mind. Number one, This is teaching and training that you need to know because it's biblical and it's from Scripture, and it'd be grounded in these things so that if the Lord does ordain and does see fit that you are to get married and you have children, these are good things for you to have in mind. Number two, when you hear something like this, look at it not from the perspective of, man, my dad really needs to hear this. Look at it from the perspective of, how do I need to take responsibility in this area in my life? How do I take responsibility? How can I do better in this area? Because it's real easy to sit here and point the fingers at your parents. And it's not my preference for you to leave here and say, hey, Dad, you need to listen to this lesson that Craig taught, because it's got something that you need to hear. Now, you may say that, that's fine, but the goal is for this to affect you and for you to take responsibility. But in going through this, I actually, in MacArthur's commentary on Ephesians 6, he went through and there were 10 things that he called out that parents do that exasperate children. And I'm going to run through this because I think this was a great list and I think it's good for us to hear. But in the application process, I think everybody's getting out their pens like, okay, this is going to be good. In the application process, the focus is not on your parents. The focus is on you. Okay? All right. What does it mean? Well, first of all, that word parents can be translated, the word fathers can be translated parents. The exact same word was used in Hebrews 11:23. So this is addressing both parents, not just the fathers. When they use the term fathers, they generally said it because the father was the head of the household and he gave instruction through the mother to the children or directly to the children. So they use the term fathers. Mothers are not exempt from this. Sorry. Happy Mother's Day. Exasperate. What does that word mean, exasperate? I mean, it sounds like somebody that can't get air. That's what it sounds like to me whenever I hear that word exasperate. It means to stir up or to provoke, to irritate. To stir up or to provoke or irritate. Everybody's sitting there going, okay, this is going to be good because I got parents to do this. Everybody in here could easily say that their parents irritate them. Easily. I won't even ask for a show of hands because every hand would go up. Parents can irritate you. It's not a bad thing. If you go to James chapter 1, any trial that's in our life, God ordains and has it in our life for a purpose to teach us and to train us to become more like Christ and to develop Christ-likeness in us. Parents are the first line of offense that God uses to teach and train us. Now, here's the deal. There is not any parent that I'm aware of that wakes up every morning and they wake up and say, how can I be a total jerk face to my kid today? Doesn't happen. I'm not aware of it. But there are parents that irritate you, that exasperate you, that irritate you, that stir you up, that provoke you to anger. There are things that parents can do. The focus is, and we're going to run through this list, but the focus is how do you respond to this? That's what you need to respond to. Failure to obey a parent can cause a child to lose heart. To lose heart. The idea of that is to be without courage or spirit. It's a sense of a child being listless, sullen, discouraged, despairing. Parents can take the heart out of their children. You can. And it's discouraging. And parents don't need to do that, but there are times that we do. There are times that we're going to do that to our children. So let me run through this list real quick, very quickly. Number one, there are several ways that parents can cause their children to lose heart. Number one, parents can exasperate their children by overprotection. Overprotection. Everybody's like, yeah, there's number one, Dad. Overprotecting parents never allow their children any liberty, any freedom. They have strict rules about everything. No matter what their children do, they're overprotective parents. They don't trust them. They're going to oversee everything that they do. Parents are to provide rules and guidelines for their children, but those rules should not become a noose that strangles them. Parents must communicate with their children, talk to them, explain, help them understand. There are certain times that faith will ask us, hey, can I do this? And we'll say, no, you're not going to do that. And I'm sure that she would be exasperated. But we're not trying to just overprotect her. We're trying to look big picture and say, what is the best for you now? Because we have to help you balance doing this versus handling your responsibilities. As adults, I don't get to go to Six Flags every day. Might be fun to go to Six Flags every day, but I have a job, I have responsibilities, I have things I have to do. And so if I went in every, woke up every day and said, I just want to go to Six Flags today, would I be being a good husband, a good father? You might go, yeah, you'd be an awesome father. Would I be tending to my business? No. So I have to temper myself. And while you live under your parents' homes, they have to help temper you. They have to help guide and direct. There's certain things you should and shouldn't do. But overprotecting children, sometimes you got to let kids grow. Because at some point, you're going to turn 18, 19, 20, however old it is. At some point, you're going to leave your parents' home, and you have to be able to manage yourself. And parents need to allow you to start doing that. So, overprotection. Number two, parents exasperate their children by showing favoritism. This is done by unwittingly comparing a child unfavorably to siblings or classmates. By comparing children and showing favoritism. Thirdly, parents can exasperate their children by depreciating their worth. Depreciating their worth. Many children have been convinced that they do, and many children have been convinced that what they do and feel are not important. That is communicating to children that they are not significant. Parents need to talk to their kids. Parents need to communicate with their kids and show them how they're growing in self-worth. Number four, parents exasperate their children by setting unrealistic goals. Setting unrealistic goals. Parents can do that by never rewarding them or never letting them feel that they have succeeded. One thing that was frustrating to me at times, and my dad didn't realize he was doing this, but I had to go and talk to my dad about this. I felt like I could do 9 things right and 1 thing wrong. And what is the one thing that my parents would focus on? The one thing wrong. Do you guys feel that way? Have you ever felt like, yeah, you could do this right, right. Slip up, do one thing wrong. What are they going to focus on? The one thing wrong. And so I went to my dad and I was like, look, this is wearing me out. I'm getting broken down here because I feel like I'm being obedient, helping, doing, one thing wrong, and that's the one thing. You're not going to say, good job, thank you. It was all, you did this wrong, why did you do that wrong? He didn't realize he was doing that. I had to go and talk to him and say, hey, can you help me? And sure enough, as soon as I talked to my dad about it, he started saying, hey, thank you, you're doing that right. As parents, sometimes we don't see it from your perspective. You have to understand, you see it from your perspective, we see it from our perspective. There's going to be times we don't see it from your perspective. You've got to come and talk to us and say, hey, I need some help. This is my perspective. Help me either let's change or help me change my perspective so I see this from your side so I go, oh, okay, I now understand. Number five, parents exasperate their children by failing to show affection. Parents need to communicate love to their children both verbally and physically. Parents need to show their children affection. These are things that you need to do if the Lord sees fit that you're a parent someday. Number six, some parents exasperate their children by not providing for their needs. There's certain things that a child needs. Food and clothing and shelter and protection. Those are certain things that a child needs. And if the child doesn't have these things, it would exasperate them. It would hurt. It would irritate. It would stir them up and provoke them to anger, cause them to lose heart. Those are things that, as a parent, that parents are supposed to provide. Number seven, parents exasperate their children by a lack of standards. This is actually the flip side of overprotection. A lack of standards can also exasperate children. Because if you use this example, if I hired a guy at our business and he walked in the first day and I said, "All right, man, glad you're here. Get to work." He'd be like, what do I do? Am I supposed to sit here, or where's my chair, or where's my computer, and am I supposed to estimate? Am I supposed to project manage? What am I supposed to do? If I, as a parent, or staying with that analogy for a second, it's my responsibility, if I hire somebody, to train them. It's my responsibility to give them boundaries and guidelines, and here's the time you need to show up, and when you go home, and the flexibility on those things, and hey, we take lunch for this long, and here's what you're going to be working on, and here's the tools you're going to be using, and here's what y'all want your focus to be on. It's my responsibility to do that. If he walked in and I didn't tell him anything, if he didn't get anything done that day, would it be because he's a bad employer or because I'm a bad boss? It would be because I'm a bad boss. I gave him no direction. I gave him no structure. I gave him no anything. It's not that he's bad. It's I didn't do it my job. And that's one thing that parents have got to do. They have to give structure. They have to give direction to their children. They have to establish standards. And if your parents don't do that, they're being a bad parent. Your parents need to give you standards. You need those things because you need direction. You're going to be directing yourself at some point. So you've got to be parents are responsible to kind of push you in the right direction, take you in the right way. Number eight, parents exasperate their children by criticism. Parents have got to encourage their children. Encourage your children towards what you want to see. I've always been told, praise what you want to see more of. We talk about that in business. The same thing applies to children. Praise what you want to see more of. Because people gravitate towards praise. If they're being praised for something, you know what they're going to do? They're going to do more of that because they like the praise. It's a responsibility of parents to praise their children and encourage their children. Number nine, parents exasperate their children by neglect. It's horrible to see, but in our society today, there are people that just totally neglect their children. They're just indifferent towards them. Completely indifferent. Finally, parents exasperate their children by excessive discipline. This is the parent who abuses their children both physically or either physically or verbally, but to excessive discipline. Parents are called. It is something that we are called as parents to discipline our children, to train you up in the ways of the Lord. But there are parents that do it in anger, take it out of context, take it too far, and that can exasperate a child. This is a parent who abuses their children either verbally, emotionally, physically. Parents often say things to their children that they would never say to anyone else. They should never discipline their children in anger. Rather, parents should lovingly correct their children just as their Heavenly Father does for them. Proverbs 4:1 says, "Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father, and give attention to that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and only in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live.'" That was Proverbs 4:1-4. You know, it is a responsibility of children to obey their parents, and it's a responsibility of parents to raise their children up in the right way, to not exasperate their children, but to train them up in a godly way. So the question is how, hearing those things, how do we apply that? How do we then say, okay, how do I go to my parents and tell them all the things that they're doing wrong and that they need to fix? No, that's not the mindset. The mindset is, how do I take what God has commanded me to do, to obey my parents, and how do I apply that today? Talk about a good Mother's Day gift. So here's four things. Number one, purpose to obey and honor. Purpose to obey and honor. In the same way that we are called to put on and to put off certain things in Colossians 3, 1 through 17, we're to put off these things that are part of the flesh, and we're supposed to put on these things that are part of godliness, and it's an action. We're called to obey and honor. It is an action. It is something we have to purpose to do. We can't go through the putting off and putting on process by just standing there going, okay, somebody do it for me. It's something that we have to do. So we've got to purpose to obey and honor. Number two, pray for God's strength and encouragement. Pray for God's strength and encouragement. If we are seeking to be obedient to God's will, then when we pray that God would help us be obedient with God to His will, we are praying in line with God's will. He will encourage and strengthen us. I believe that. If we are praying in line with God's will, that's a good thing. But pray for God's strength and encouragement, because every day is not going to be easy. There are going to be days that it is hard to obey. There are going to be days that it's hard to honor. But we're still called to do it in all things. Number three, talk to your parents. Talk to your parents. If there are any areas that you say, I am discouraged, I'm struggling, I'm having a hard time, the point number seven that you made about parents, how they exasperate their children, man, that's my parents. The first thing that you've got to do, first thing, and I didn't add this, but on a personal level, look at it and see, what am I doing or what can I do to make this better? How can I change? What do I need to be doing? But you have got to be willing to talk to your parents. Because just like I said, no parent wakes up and says, I'm going to be a jerk to my kid today. That's not the goal. But are we hard sometimes? Are parents tough sometimes? Absolutely. You've got to talk to them. Because one of two things will happen. Either A, you're going to talk and your parents are going to say, oh man, I'm sorry, I did not realize that what I was doing was causing that. I will work on that. Or the second thing that will happen is your parents should say, let me help you understand why I'm doing that. And this is what I'm trying to work on in your life, because this is what I see. Or this is the goal, big picture. And either your parents' perspective will change or your perspective will change, and you'll say, I understand why you're doing what you're doing. I got it. But talk to your parents. So purpose to obey and honor. Pray for God's strength and encouragement. Talk to your parents. And lastly, just as in all things, trust in God's sovereignty and His control. Trust in God's sovereignty and in His control. God is the one that ordained this relationship. He put you in this relationship. He has a purpose and a plan in this relationship between you and your parents. Trust in the fact that He's in control. He knows your heart, your mind, your actions. He knows your parents' heart, mind, and actions. Trust in those, in God's sovereign control over that. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it applies to us. We thank You, Father, for Your guidance and direction in this passage. I just pray, Father, that You would give us the heart and the mind to honor and obey. Father, that's what we're called to do. And I pray, Father, that we would focus on what our responsibility is in this relationship. Not on what our rights are, but what our responsibility is. And that we would focus ultimately with the purpose and the motivation of pleasing You. That is what we are to be about, pleasing and honoring You. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Pray that You'd apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.